apart and took off to California for some reason, lost his way, and we're reeling him back in. And he came back on break to come back. Teresa is his sister, and he's a part of that family, and he was a part of this family in the very beginning. And he never left the family, so he says he took off to California. I don't know how you equate that. But he came back on break, and I said, "Brother, I just need you here, and I want you here, and we'll put you on staff. And if you would leave your great full-time, well-paid job in California working for Oakley." I mean, the dude wears Oakley underwear, folks. I mean, everything is Oakley with this kid. Oakley shades, shirt, pants, socks, drawers, shoes. I mean, we went hiking a couple weeks ago. He has Oakley hiking shoes. I'm like, "Did you know you got Oakley underwear?" "I know you do. You have to." And he left his Oakley underwear in California, making good money, to come here. At the time, it was part-time pay. And we've able to give him some raises and get him up to a place where he can serve here. And the man's a blessing. And the man is here, and he serves your teens with everything he's got, folks. And he just is a servant to these college kids, so willing to. He spends time on the campus. He spends time with these college kids. He oversees all the college ministry. He's going to start a college Bible study coming up within the next month. He's just drilling truth into our teenagers. Incredible leadership team that he has just collected for Breakaway. It's powerful to see where he was 4.5 years ago in my living room to see where the man is today. It's incredible, folks, to see the maturity. And I've asked him a month ago to preach on a weekend. This is huge. And I've asked him to speak. Seth, I want you. We're teaching and training. Listen, I taught Brennan everything he knows about singing. And I'm teaching Seth everything I know about preaching. The second half of that is true. And I'm trying to really teach him and train him and lead him in a way of pastoring and leading people in the truth of God's word. And I'm blessed that he is here, and I'm blessed. You should be very blessed that he is here and planting himself here. And we're sending him overseas. He is going to be a preacher around the world. He's going to be a preacher here at Believer's Chapel. And gang, you know, it's great for me to be the pastor of this church to have, I mean, I'm talking about a superstar team, folks, that leads this church. A superstar leadership team that is the best team I've ever worked with in my life. That is including SWAT teams. That is including police teams. That is including any church team I've ever worked with. This is the absolute all-star team that God is bringing in here for a specific reason that glorifies him. It is not about us, folks. It's about God's heart for this region and God's heart for the lost and the families and the brokenness and depression of this region. I'm telling you, there's an all-star team here, and it's just amazing to see God bring peace after peace. More pieces are coming in. More leadership styles are coming in. More team members are coming in for God's purpose, folks, and it's not ours. That's what's so amazing about this whole thing. And Seth is a huge piece to this team, and we're pumped about it. And if you would welcome Seth as he is going to preach a message on the walk, what it takes, and I've asked him to speak specifically on prayer. Let's welcome Seth this morning. Come on.
Thank you very much. Like Sean said, been here since 4 years ago, and when I was in California, my heart was always here. They started putting podcasts online. I was actually getting phone calls from Teresa on, you know, how do I log in, where do I go, and all this random internet questions that she always has for me, which are great.
It was the plan to draw you back, man.
And it worked. So they hook, line, sinker, I was back. But I never left. I mean, I love you guys in heart. It was BC all the way, and I knew one day I would come here. I was just trying to hold it off as long as I could, but he broke me. Hey, we are in a series called The Walk and What It Takes, and it takes prayer. That's how we're going to start out. I'm just going to pray for you guys and pray for this message. What I'm speaking today is not my own. These words come from the book, the Bible, God's holy word, and we ask that it be his message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask that you would bless this message. God, that it would be your word, your way. Lord, your word is alive and powerful. It is active and effective, Lord. I ask for hearts that are ready to receive it. God, that you would speak to us. Lord, that you would have your way in us, God. And if it's your will, God, that we would walk away changed because of your truth, because we have heard from you. It is no mistake that we are here today, God, and we come before you, acknowledging you as King and Lord of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I am pumped to see my family here. They kind of live down the road, so I'm glad that they came. I have a rock star brother named Phil, who plays the bass, and he drove all the way from Watertown last night, all through the night, probably got home 3 or 4 in the morning, woke up and came to church to see me today, which I am pumped about. But we are in the series called The Walk, What It Takes. And what it takes is prayer. We have gone through consistency, that we need to be consistent in our walk. We have looked at relationships, those that we value, and those that maybe we just need to ditch, that aren't so good for us. And we have looked at encouragement, that encouragement is vital for our walk. And today is prayer. Because whether you're a parent with a child, whether you are a student in college or in high school, whether you are single and just trusting and waiting, excuse me, or whether you are have struggled with a serious illness or simply stubbed your toe, you know that prayer is essential to our walk. It is needed. And it's this line of communication that we have with God to come before the Father and let Him know our requests, let Him know our needs, and trust in Him to provide. He has made the way through Jesus Christ that we can approach Him directly and let Him know what we need. And He hears us. It is a weapon that we can use in this battle, in this life, and in this journey. And it is a tool. And I have this beautiful black and blue fingernail that I have been praying all week stays on. And that came from using a tool, from swinging a hammer. Because you got to know how to use the tool if you're going to use it. You got to be precise. You got to know how to swing it. And I missed the nail on the head and got my fingertip. So that was great. So, but prayer is a tool. And if we're going to use prayer, we got to know how to use it. We're going to be in two places this morning. We're going to start in Luke 18, and then we're going to look at 1 Chronicles 16. So keep your turn to Luke 18, find 1 Chronicles, and then hold on to Luke 18 because we'll be popping back there after we go over to Chronicles. But Jesus is speaking here, and He is sharing a parable, and He knows exactly who is He talking to. A few weeks ago, Sean talked about the warrior king that we serve. This Jesus is not a wimp. And here He is telling a parable, and He knows specifically who He is talking to. It says right here in verse 9, and as He told this parable, it was to certain ones. It was to a specific group, and He knew who they were. There were ones who trusted in themselves. Their hope, their confidence was in who they were, and that they were righteous, that on their own they were in right standing, that they had earned their salvation. And because of this, they viewed others with contempt, as though they were worthless and not worth the time of day. And you have these two men, and they went up to the temple to pray. This is the parable that Jesus is telling. One being a Pharisee and the other one a tax gatherer. And the Pharisee stands there. It says he stood and was praying thus to himself, more so to exalt himself than exalt God. And he says, God, I thank Thee, Lord, that I am not like the other people, the swindlers, the unjust, the adulterers, and even like this tax gatherer. And I'm sure that this prayer was loud enough for the tax gatherer to hear it. He says, thank you, Lord, that I am above the others. God, that I am righteous. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not like everybody else, that I'm not like this filthy tax giver. And then he goes on to boast. He says, I fast 2 times a week. I don't even need to work out and I look good. I fast twice a week. And I give tithes in all that I get. I'm curious if he even gave 10% of his heart. But the tax gatherer was standing some distance away, just a short distance. And he was even unwilling to lift up his head. He wouldn't even look up to the heavens, but instead was beating his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He had a clear understanding of who he was talking to and a clear understanding of who he was. And looking up, not even looking up, he says, God, have mercy on me, the sinner. Realizing that it was by God's grace alone that he had been saved. And coming before the Father in prayer, as we ought to do in our walk, he knew who he was talking to, and it was God Almighty. If you could bring up Psalm 33, because This God that we talk to is creator of the universe. It was by the word of the Lord that the heavens were made. He spoke and the stars came to be. The breath of his mouth created their hosts. And he gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. It is a simple task. It does not take much work. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let them have a reverence, an understanding of who God is in such a way that it brings them to their knees and that they are awestruck by his might and by his power. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, recognizing who God is. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. When we approach God in prayer, we approach his presence. And I want to show you, you can turn to 1 Chronicles. We have a picture here of the Israelites, 1 Chronicles 16. And here the Israelites are welcoming the Ark of the Covenant into the city of David, back into Jerusalem. And there, in the very presence of God, this is what they make known. In verse 23, they say, "Sing to the Lord all the earth. Make known or proclaim his good tidings, the good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations. Let it be known, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of all the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe or give credit to the Lord the glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him and worship the Lord in his holy array, in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let all the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations that the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all that it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting." They had a clear picture of who it was that they were worshiping. Then they say, "Save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us and deliver us from the nations, to give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting even to everlasting." And then all the people said amen, and they praised the Lord. They had a clear picture of who their God was, of who their king was. And there, in the very presence of the ark, the very presence of God, it was a victorious celebration. And they adored him for who he was. Psalms 8 says this: "Knowing who God is, when I consider the heavens, when I think upon the work of his fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained. What is man? Who am I that you take thought of me?" Knowing that you are creator, God, knowing that you spoke and the world came to be. Whew, here's the stars in the sky. He placed them and ordained them where they should stay. And that same God cares for me. That same King who in all of that majesty and all of that glory and all of the awesome of who God is stepped off the throne, put himself on earth, and then hung himself on a cross, giving his life for me. Because man had broken a relationship and now had a debt on their hands that could not be paid. God himself, as king, had to intervene. The creator of the world stepped in flesh for me. Who am I that God would do such an act of love? Who am I that he even gives me thought? Who is the Son of Man that you care for him? And so you have this contrast of the two who came to the temple to pray. There was the Pharisee who was prideful and arrogant. And his prayer was more to exalt himself than it was to exalt God. And he came before him with a list of what he had done. and why he deserves salvation. And on the other hand, you have the tax gatherer who recognizes that he's a sinner, saved by grace, and not even lifting up his head. He says, God, be merciful to me. Be merciful to me and save me, Lord, for I am but a sinner. And Jesus goes on to say that it was the one who humbled himself that walked away justified. The one who humbled himself and rather than exalted himself that walked away set free, justified. 1 Peter says this, that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He is in opposite standing of those who are prideful, but he gives favor to those who humble themselves. It says, therefore, knowing this, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, recognizing who he is, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Don't worry about exalting yourself. Honor him. Honor him, and at the proper time, he will exalt you, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. See, when we understand the power of who God is and that he cares for us, we can cast all our fear, all our anxiety, all our doubt aside. We can remove it far from us. If you've gone fishing, you know that a cast is not just a light toss over, especially if you're on the side of the lake, on the side of the river. You got to get that hook out there. And so a cast, you want to get it as far as you can. If you're like me, you spend most of the time getting the hook out of the tree limbs because that's where it ends up. I don't know what's going to happen when they take me hunting in the fall, but we will see. But it says, remove far from you. Throw with might all your worries, all your anxiety, and your fear. Recognizing who God is. Coming before him in prayer, humbly. Knowing and recognizing the power of his might. And then understanding that he is mindful of us. Whether he should be or not, he chose to be. And knowing he is all powerful, and that he loves us, we can come before him with no fear and no doubt. For nothing is impossible for our God. Nothing is too hard for our God. Right there in Luke 18, we're going to back up a few verses and we're going to look at the parable before this. Starting at verse 1, it says, Jesus was telling them a parable to show them that at all times, continually, they ought to pray and not lose heart. That they should continue to pray. He goes on to tell them this parable that they might continue to pray and not grow weary. That they might continue to pray at all times and not lose hope. Not lose sight of what they seek. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. He had no concern for his fellow man and no fear of God. And in that same city was a widow, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. So you have this judge who does not fear God, who has no respect for man, and then a widow who needs his approval for this legal protection. And she comes before him asking this, even recognizing that she's a widow, because he has no respect for man, it does nothing for her. And so she has to come day after day, and she gets a no, followed by a no, followed by a no, followed by a no, but she keeps on coming. And then it says, and for a while he was unwilling. He continued to say no. But afterward, he said to himself, even though I do not fear God, this is not out of conviction, nor do I respect man, this is not out of good conscience. Yet, because this widow bothers me, because she bothers me, she will not leave me alone. Because of this, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming, he knows that she's not going to stop. He knows that she's coming persistently. He says, because of this, I will give her protection so that she does not wear me out. Seeing this picture, Jesus says, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Despite having no fear for God, no respect for man, he gave her request because she was persistent. In our prayer life, We need to persistently come in that humble state, recognizing who God is and knowing that He has all authority. Because we can pray and sometimes lose heart. You say, yeah, I get the praying thing. I've been doing it for years and my answer still has not come. Do not lose heart. Jesus told this parable in hopes that they would not lose heart, but that they would continue to come. He goes on to say, I tell you that God will bring about justice for them speedily. His elect, those who come to Him in prayer, those who seek after Him day and night. Because God is a judge who judges justly and who loves us greatly. He is the judge who cares for us, who gave everything to set us free. How much more so going before Him consistently, continually, and persistently will He answer our prayer. But He says, I tell you that He will bring it about speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Who will be found praying in the days that continue to grow darker and darker in the world? Who is it that doesn't lose hope, that still gives God the devotion that He deserves on their knees? Because they recognize that He is in full control. That no matter what nation does, He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And they continue to seek Him out, not losing hope, not losing heart, but recognizing that all authority, that all power, not only in heaven but on earth, is His. Is His. And so they persistently come and seek Him out. Psalms 116 says this, I love the Lord. I have a great affection for the Lord because He hears my voice and my supplications. I bring my requests to Him because He has inclined His ear to me. He has leaned in to hear what I have to say. Who am I that God is even mindful of me? Yet He cares for what I have to say and leans in to hear it. God cares about the details of our lives. And let me be sure of this one thing. He knows the details of our lives, yet still leans in and cares to hear. Not that we would be repetitive in our speech or just talk to talk, but we would come before God in prayer persistently, continually, as we seek His face. Therefore, knowing this, that He cares for what I have to request, I shall call upon His name as long as I live. And wouldn't you, knowing God Almighty, right? Creator of the universe, the one who is in full control, full power, knowing this, knowing that He cares for you and I, that He gave everything and made the way that we can approach His throne with these requests, knowing this, should we not seek Him out as long as we live, persistently and consistently, day after day, knowing that He has full power, full authority to hear our requests and to act on our behalf? See, you have David, who wrote the Psalms, and psalm after psalm, man, they just go on a journey. Because at one point, he's surrounded by his enemies. He goes, God, I am encompassed on all sides. I do not see an escape. He has enemies surrounding him. Where is he to go? Yet then it changes, and he begins to praise the Lord. Because even there, with no way out, even with circumstance and trial surrounding him, his hope is still in the Lord. And he does not lose heart. And he cries out to the Father. He says, God, You are my refuge. You are my strength, my strong tower, my very firm foundation, the rock in which I stand. And he came before the Father with thanksgiving, even in the midst of his trial, because he came with expectation. He had a firm understanding on whom the God that he served was, and knew that when he brought that request, that God heard him and cared for him. And that answer would come. That his God would not forsake him. But that if he brought his request and believed, through his anxiety far from him, that God would grant him his request. Mark 11 says this. Jesus actually commands us to be expectant. In talking with his disciples, he says, have faith in God. Not in yourselves. Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen. The one who says this without doubt, but in full faith, believing that what has been said will happen, it will be granted to him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them. If you're not going to believe that you're not going to get it, don't even bother praying about it. When you approach the Father with a request, know that He hears your cry and expect Him to give you what you ask. And it will be granted to you, the one who is in full faith, without doubt, but believes that the Father hears, that the Father will answer. We can be expectant. Ephesians 3:20 tells us that God goes above and beyond even our greatest thought. And if you look at sinful man and the state that we were in when we were fallen in our relationship with God, and then you see the whole picture, that it was God Himself who came down and paid the debt that we couldn't afford to pay. The one that human hands would not satisfy, Jesus came and conquered death. If you ask me, that goes above anything that I could have ever imagined for my salvation. That the King would step off the throne and put Himself on the cross. That He would lay down His own life so that the one who broke the relationship would be restored. He says, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond. Exactly. That's where our salvation comes from. Because nobody would have thought that the King would die for His people. But He is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Knowing this, that God can go above and beyond our requests, even beyond what we could even think to expect from Him. Be anxious for nothing. Do not worry about a thing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. We have no reason to fear. We have no reason to come with worry in our walk, in our life. It takes prayer. And when we recognize that we come before an Almighty God who is good and who loves us and who cares deeply for us, we come persistently because we recognize His authority and His power. And that not only does He hear us, but He will grant that which we ask when we ask in faith. When we believe and not doubt, when we don't lose heart but continually come day after day after day with our hope in Him, knowing that He will answer in His due time at that right moment. Our trust is in Him and not what we see. Faith is the evidence of things unseen. You continue to come. You continue to pray because you hope for that which has not yet happened. Of course it hasn't happened, so you continue to come, but you come with thanksgiving, knowing that it will be granted to the one that believes. But how devoted are we in our time of prayer? To have the Creator of the universe, God Almighty, on the other end of the line, yet how much time do we really come before Him in prayer? How much time do we devote to Him, set aside for Him? And do we come with a reverence, recognizing who He is, that He saved the sinner in the midst of his filth, and thanking Him persistently, daily, for the salvation that went above and beyond all that we could ever imagine, that the King gave His life for the sinner. When we recognize this and come before Him, we can bring our requests in confidence, knowing that God hears us. He already gave everything to save us. Why would He not hear our requests and act on our behalf? Jesus said He will do so speedily, that He will not delay, but will bring about that which we ask. It will be granted to those that believe, if we would only not lose heart, but continually seek His face. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray, God, because it is a weapon. Lord, it is a tool. God, I pray that You would continue to teach us on how to use it. Lord, that we would set time, Lord, to persistently seek You out day after day, knowing that You, God, are all-powerful and all-knowing, coming to You in confidence of who You are, God. Father, right now I just pray over those who have recognized that prayer is essential. To those who have been praying, God, and continue to ask, and continue to ask. Lord, I pray that they would not lose heart. God, that they would hold on to that hope. Faith being the evidence of what is still yet to come. That they would not grow tired or weary in their seeking of You, God, but they would continually come, persistently come, in that reverent state, God, acknowledging that You are all-powerful and that You will bring about the answer to their request. knowing that you are God. If you're new here today, if you have heard this message before, and today you've heard truth. You have heard truth in song, you've heard truth through Sean, and you've heard it now today. That God demonstrated His own love for us. He made it clear that He cares for us. God Almighty cares for the sinner, and it is by His grace that we have been saved. But if this is new to you, or if maybe you've heard it before and finally you're ready, and you understand that Jesus, it's not about who I am or what I have done, but it's about you and your love for me. Let your prayer today be, Jesus, I believe. I believe that you are the Christ, the very way to salvation, the one who paved this way for us to go home eternally with you. God, my hope and my confidence is in you. I believe that you are the Son of God. If that is you today, make no mistake about it, that you are here for a reason and that God ordained, just as He ordained for the stars, for you to come to this moment of salvation. It is by His grace in which we have been saved. Come to Him in a reverent prayer and bring to our God, to our King, the glory that is so due His name. For we serve a mighty God who is worthy of our praise. In Jesus' name, amen.